It's our joy to be able to conduct the business of the church, and thank you for entrusting that to the care of the elders, but we want to make sure you're informed, and there are certain issues in which our Constitution calls for you very directly to affirm, and we want to do that, talk about that this evening. First, Dwight Custis, who's one of our elders who works with our church administrator and with our finance committee, is going to come, and as we typically do this time of year, give us a brief update on our financial picture. Our fiscal year begins October 1, so he'll give us a glance back as well as a glance forward.
As Tom said, our fiscal year begins October 1st and goes through September 30th. We changed that a few years ago. And so I'm going to give you, as he said, a look back at how we did last year and then look forward at what our budget is and what we propose our expenses be next year as well. This is a look back. We call this fiscal year 2011-2012 because it overlaps those 2 years. And you can see the contributions were $2,287,000, and the ministry expenses about $2.3 million. It shows that we're over by $23,000. Actually, that's really close. Mm-hmm. That's within like a percentage point, and we were very pleased with that. It actually includes some monies which are not technically in the financial world expenses because it was applied to our loan principal. And so there was about, in that number, there's about $109,000 that was applied to our loan principal as a part of our general fund. What I'm showing you here is our general fund. For those of you who are not familiar with that, that's the money where your offerings go, and then that's where we pay all the bills. That doesn't include the building fund or benevolence fund. I'll show you those in just a minute. All right? And we thought you would want to see where we've been the last several years. This, I don't know if you can see the numbers, but it goes from, there are 8 years there, years 04, 05 through 11, 12. And in each of those bars, the first bar is the revenues for that year, the offerings for that year, and then the expenses. And what we like to see is that second bar be a little bit less than what the other bar is. And so that last bar does not have the numbers I was talking about, the $109,000 in there, because that was technically it's not ministry expense. So you can see that over the years, our budget it's really doubled. And we don't sit in a room and decide how much are we going to spend this year? It's all tied to our attendance. And in fact, it's a very technical thing. It's a really pretty solid number as we go from year to year on tying attendance and what that represents in terms of giving each year. And so we've been pretty accurate. The Finance Committee does a great job of predicting that each year. This year, we did see a little bit of a slowdown, but we were pretty close. We actually budgeted $2.4 million, and you can see that on that the chart before, we were about at $2.3 million. So we're watching that. The Finance Committee does a great job of helping with that as well. These are the fund balances. And you can see this is a comparison between where we were last year as opposed to where we are at the end of the fiscal year, which was September 30th of this year. And you can see the general fund went down pretty significantly. The reason for that is that we decided that it was not a good financial decision to have so much money just sitting in the bank when we were paying on a loan. And so the elders decided about mid-year that we would take about $250,000, and apply that to the loan. And so that's why you see that go down. The building fund right now has $73,000. That will be applied to our loan. We just haven't done that yet. Benevolence fund, What you don't see is that we spent about $98,000 in benevolence funds this past year. And a good chunk of that was what we contributed to India to help the seminary. You remember we did that several months ago. But a lot of that money goes to help people in our congregation and other places, too, where there are needs that are brought to the attention of the elders. This is the status on the children's building loan. And you can see that our beginning loan balance was $2.2 million. And right now we're down below $1 million, but actually when we apply that $73,000 that I showed you in the last slide, we're down below $900,000. And that's amazing, isn't it? Much to be thankful for. This past year, this doesn't show how much was applied this past year, but this past year was about $700,000 that was applied to our loan principal. And $250,000 of that was out of the general fund. So that means there was about $100,000 of that came out of the general fund, and then $350,000 out of your giving, especially to the building fund. And each year, over the last 4 years, the giving to the building fund, that's just when we have a special offering or when you write a check to the building fund, there's a little bit that comes in each month. That has ranged from $350,000 to almost $500,000. So that's the range that I think you'll see that later in Tom's presentation. So here's the budget for 2012-2013. And you can see that it has gone up. It's tied, as I said, to the attendance. And we've seen our attendance more than double in the years that I was talking about. And with our three services, it continues to go up, and I suspect that that will probably happen as well. There's a very detailed process behind all of this. You're seeing me. I'm the window covering. Behind that is, it's not too pretty, is it? But behind that is a lot of people that do a great job, not just the finance committee. Jeff Scarborough, our administrator, does a great job of our budget. I remember the days when we would labor through that budget process, and it's all behind the scenes. Still a lot of work that goes on because a lot of you participate in that as well by coming up with a budget for your particular area. And then you always do a great job of sticking to that budget, which is just as important as making the budget. And so there's a lot of good work that goes behind that. I won't go through all the numbers. If you want detail, more detail, I'll be happy to give that to you. I'll be down here afterwards, and you can come and ask questions or go directly to Jeff or any one of the finance committee people. The elders have approved this budget for 2012-2013, and it's posted in the foyer on the west end over here. And I just want you to see the finance committee. This is a group of people that are very talented in the finance world, and they do it for a living, and we rely on them to help oversee our finances, and they do a great job of that. And so if you see any of them, Gary Dunlap, Ronnie Kendall, Ron Lennington, Chris Lucas, Jeff Scarborough, and Brent Walker, you can thank them for me and thank them for yourself for the great job that they do. Mm-hmm. I think it would be appropriate, this is the end of my presentation, I think it would be appropriate that we thank the Lord for his provision for us during this past year and over the years. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your church. Thank you for your provision for your church. And we recognize that we are totally dependent upon you and your provision to each one of the families in our church and through the families to the church. And thank you for your faithfulness to us. Pray that you would continue to sustain your church Lord, we consider it a great responsibility that we have to do the things that would be pleasing to you and your church. And we would pray that you would cause your people to be faithful as well and enable them to do that as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to briefly take you through what you have already read about, if you've picked up one of those little information sheets about the land purchase. But just on behalf of the elders, and I wish Brian Chandler could be here. He has really been the mainstay in this project, but he wasn't able to be here, and I'm sort of representing him and the rest of the elders. But let me give you a little overview of what has happened. A little bit of a timeline. Back on March 30th, the elders made a decision that because of the problem with space in the worship center, that we would have a short-term solution of adding a third service, having three services, with a long-term solution of eventually building a 1,400-seat sanctuary. That really is nothing new per se, except the adding of the third service. We've been talking and moving toward that goal eventually. But on March 30th, we made that decision, the elders did. On August 14th, we received a letter from Grace Community Church down here at the end of the cul-de-sac. A number of years ago now, right after I came as pastor, they purchased the piece of land, the 6 acres that are back here that now there's a horse fence on, some horses there. They purchased that land. And at the time, I was meeting with the mayor's committee, and I met the pastor there, and I asked him on behalf of the elders that if they ever decided to sell that, to give us first right of refusal. And frankly, didn't think that would ever happen and forgot about it, but they didn't forget about it. And they received an offer from a local developer to purchase those 6 acres from them that are adjacent to them. And they wrote us a letter saying, you know, we had agreed in principle to give you right of first refusal, so consider us informing you of that. On August 16th, in light of that, the building committee met to discuss all of this. They discussed the future sanctuary, and they discussed specifically the problem we have with parking. Here's the parking problem. Originally, when we were going to construct the 1,400-seat auditorium, the goal was to return to a single service where we could all worship together. As we've continued to grow, and the elders are looking at that, and we don't know what the Lord will do, but as we've continued to grow, it has become more likely that when the future sanctuary is completed off in a number of years, that we may very well need two services at that point. At least we have to think and plan in that direction. The problem with that is that there would not be adequate parking on our existing property if we were to build a 1,400-seat auditorium and have ever need two services. Our current parking capacity is about 648 spaces, and if you're out there on Sunday morning between the services, you know that many of those are gone. If we were to build the 1,400-seat auditorium and need the two services, they're estimating that we would need somewhere between 900 and 1,000 spots, leaving a shortage of about 350 parking spaces. Now, in that meeting, the building committee discussed the problem. They also considered some solutions. And, you know, there are a number of things they could have considered. One issue that always comes up is, what about a parking garage? Well, I don't know if you know anything about building, but actually, Brian Chandler tells me that the foundation for a parking garage would cost more than this property that we're looking at. Not the structure, just the foundation. So that one was written off. But there were a couple of solutions. One was to contract with an off-site property owner and transport people by bus to the church. Well, I have a hard time doing to others what I myself would not want to do. So the other issue was then to purchase adjacent property. And so as they looked at what that could possibly be, and in light of the letter that we had received, there were really only two options. One of those is this corner lot over here at 114 and White's Chapel. That is also 6 acres. It's selling at $14 a square foot for a selling price of about $3.7 million. Or the end of the cul-de-sac on Countryside Court, 6 acres, selling at $4.50 a square foot for $1.2 million. And obviously, you can guess what they recommended in light of that. Just to give you a snapshot of it, you've seen this on the sheet that you have, but you can see our property now, and you see the sidewalk there, the children's building. and you see the 6 acres back there in the corner, and then you see the 6 acres over on 114 in Whitechapel. That's what they considered. Now, in light of that discussion, on September 9th, the elders approved a purchase contract allowing 90 days to determine the feasibility. Basically, we entered into a contract, but not a permanently binding one, just one that gave us 90 days to make a decision to include the church in that process, etc. And so that happened on September 9th. On October 4th, the elders unanimously voted to recommend the land purchase to you for the required constitutional vote. Our constitution, obviously we're an elder-led church, but for the protection of the church, there are a handful of issues which require congregational vote, and this would be one of those. So this is what the elders are proposing. The elders of Countryside Bible Church recommend the purchase of 6 acres adjacent to our campus at the end of the cul-de-sac for the purchase price of $1.175 to be paid with the proceeds of a loan from Providence Bank at an interest rate of 4.5%. Now, why would we do this? Well, there are a couple of reasons. One is we're thinking to the future. When we're dead and gone, we need to think about those people. And the land that is there now will be sold and permanently developed. It will never be available in the future unless we exercise our right of first refusal now. That's certainly a factor. A second factor is that we need land for additional parking for that future sanctuary to be built, and this is obviously tentative and hopeful, but within 3 to 5 years. In addition, the plot that we're looking at is large enough not only for the parking needs, but even for future flexibility and capacity. For example, this is not necessarily the way it will look, but this is that lot subdivided into parking places. There are plenty of parking places there that for what we need, and they even plopped the footprint of the future worship center there. Now, that doesn't mean we would build it there. That's just to show you that it has additional space for future flexibility, and so that's a bonus as well. What about the cost? What are the financial commitments? Well, I've already mentioned the cost of the land, $1.175 million. The loan that we have discussed with the bank is at 4.5% interest rate. That would be a monthly cost to the church of $7,434, an annual cost of $89,000, right at $90,000. So where does that come from if we were to move forward? Let me briefly discuss the possible sources for paying that amount. First of all, we have in the budget for the children's building payment that we already have, for the loan we already have, a monthly amount of $15,450. Our actual required payment is only $11,900, or about $12,000. So there are in the budget available budgeted funds for property per month at about $3,485, or about $41,800 a year. That's in the budget there that we could spend toward this. Obviously, we're looking at $90,000. The monthly payment, if we were to buy this property, as I said, would be $7,434. So if we applied that available budgeted fund extra, that would still leave us with about $3,900 a month that we would need to raise in addition if we purchased this land. That's an annual shortfall of about $47,000. That's what's not budgeted, but would need to be raised. Now, where does that come from? Well, there are two primary possible sources. One would be through new giving. God's people may respond, and simply the growth of the giving that you have continues to grow. We're able to do that. A second possibility, as Dwight mentioned a moment ago, the capital building fund contributions the last 4 years have ranged between $355,000 and $494,000. And so we could use some money from that as well. So about half of the money that we would need to purchase the land has already been built into the budget. The other half of it, we would have to come up with it from one of these potential sources. So that's the recommendation. The vote comes next Sunday night at a business meeting following the evening service. Now, I don't know if you have a lot of questions. You may have experienced overkill with information on this already. But if you have questions, We certainly want to answer them either now. We'll give you the chance. There's some microphones there in the aisle. And if you don't want to do that or you have other questions, we'll certainly be available after the service as well. But if you have questions, go ahead and come on up and ask those questions. We'll give you just a moment to do that if there's anyone who would like to do that. Any questions at all? Yes. You got to state your name first. All right.
All right, Kirk Chalgren. I noticed there's horses on there now. Is there potential leasing revenue in the meantime?
I don't believe that's true. We would have to talk about what to do there. And we do know that there's no permanent commitment, but the elders haven't discussed exactly what we would do with that property. That would not be, we don't see it in our purchasing as a revenue-producing piece of property. We're purchasing it for these other reasons. So, I mean, there are, if you were to do something like that, obviously there are also liabilities that come with that, and we have to consider that as well. So I don't know what the elders, where the elders would land, but we don't. I would just say we don't see it as a revenue-producing piece of property. Okay. Anything else? Any other questions? Okay, well, here's what we'll do. We'll go ahead and close our time in prayer, but know that Dwight will be here. I'll be down here in the front. There are other elders here this evening. Find one of us if you have a question. Get it answered. We don't want you to have any question that is still sort of hanging out there in your mind. And so you pray about this with us, and we'll see where we all land as a church next Sunday night. But we just wanted you to understand where the elders are coming from, our heart in this, and why we think, why we're recommending it to you for your consideration, okay? So let me pray for us. Been a great day here at Countryside. Wonderful time of worship together. And let's close our time together in prayer. Our Father, we are amazed at your goodness to us, certainly in Christ, as we have seen in the life of our Lord in Mark's gospel tonight. But Father, in the life of this church, we thank you for your blessing, even as Dwight was reporting, and as we were just amazed at what you have done and continue to do. Lord, not one of us, nor a group of us, takes any credit for what you have done here that's good. Anything good that has happened here is the work of your good and sovereign purpose. And Father, we thank you, and we give you all the glory for it. And we pray that you would continue to support your people in this place and to support the work here. We pray you'd grant us all wisdom as we digest what we've talked about tonight, as we consider what would be the best thing, not only for us today and for the near future of the church, but even for the long-term future of the church when we have passed the reins of this church on to the next generation. Father, we just pray for your wisdom and direction. Thank you again for this time, for this day. Seal the truths we've studied together to our hearts. May we carry them with us into the week. May you be our thought. May we consider, as we were reminded this morning in Psalm 107, may we consider all this week your steadfast love. We pray it in your name. Amen.